Good morning to you all. We're glad that you're here at Grace Bible Church today. And our call to worship, we're in Psalm 119. And I want to draw your attention to verse 15, which reads, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Very interesting, some of the wording that's used here. And I've checked it against some of the other translations of this. I will meditate in thy precepts. What would be the preposition that we would normally use? We would say maybe on the precepts. But the idea is to get into them and to meditate in them. And then the last part of this verse says, and have respect unto thy ways. And the whole idea of that word respect is to lock the eyes on. When you respect someone, you give them your what? Attention. You give them your attention. You're not goofing off. You're not letting your mind wander all. You're showing respect to them by giving them your attention. And that's the idea that's said here, and have respect unto thy ways. I wonder how much respect there is today for God's ways. All you have to do is look at the television screen or look in the newspaper or go on the internet and you will find so much disrespect for the things of God. But you know where it ought not to be? It not to be named among the people that come to church that are part of God's thing. It ought not to be named. It ought not to be there. A disrespect for the ways of God. And yet, what do we find these days? There's great disrespect for God. You know, when we come together in this corporate meeting, we're not just here spending an hour. We're not just here to see each other. Who are we here to worship? God. What does He deserve? He deserves my full respect and attention because we're going to be looking at His Word. We're going to be spending time focusing on Him. And if our minds are 1,000 miles away and we're thinking about this and thinking about that, your eyes are not locked upon Him. And you are disrespecting the God who made you. I don't think we think that seriously about church services, do we? Not like we used to. There used to be a profound respect. Some people wouldn't even go to church because they said they lived such vile lives, they felt like they would be an offense to God. That was people that were grown up in a moral America, but we live in an immoral America today, and people don't even think about those things anymore. But God's people ought to. You ought to think about those things. And so I want to encourage you today to respect His ways, to give your full attention to God, and to think about it in the process. Think about it. Am I honoring the Lord? Oh, there my thoughts just went darting off on something that's just totally not even related to God. We're talking about 1 hour. 1 hour. I pray that we'll give this hour to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Turn to number 419 as we begin to sing. Number 419, we're marching to Zion. Let's stand together, number 419.
Come we. Beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion.
Amen. Let's remain standing for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that we can be here with Your people in Your house. And Lord, we've gathered here in this place that You've given us, a place of that's comfortable, a place where we can meet together that has a shelter. Lord, we can meet freely. We don't have any fear of harm from outside, Lord. So we thank You so much for that, that in this country and nation right now, we can worship You freely. So we thank You that we've been able to gather here this morning, Lord, to sing these hymns of praises to You. Lord, to fellowship together with people of like precious faith. Lord, most importantly, to gather around Your Word, to understand truths from the Scripture, to understand, Lord, how we ought to live in these days, how we should draw closer to You through this time. I pray, Lord, that as we have gathered here this morning, that at the end of the service, that we would be closer to You, that our hearts would be convicted about areas in our life, perhaps, that need to be fixed. Maybe it's areas of selfishness or the areas of sin in our hearts and life, Lord, that You would correct those things, that we would come to Christ, we would seek forgiveness, that we would grow in the things of the Lord. And Father, thank You so much for all of our families here. We pray Your blessings upon them. And during these summer months especially, many of them are traveling or going different places. And we ask You to protect each one, Lord, that travels this summer. We also pray that it would be a time of rest and recuperation and a good break for our school families as well. So watch over them, Lord. And we pray that You would also be with the various ministries that are going on this summer. We have the Youth Athletic Club, the summer camp program going each day with the Bible Times. Father, I pray that Your Word would go forth and You would give protection as well to all the young people from the community that come up here on our campus. Lord, the T-ball tournament that's coming up this week as well. Father, I pray that it would be done orderly. I pray that it would be a good testimony to the other parks that visit here at Gospel Projects. And Lord, that Your name would be glorified throughout this time. Now, Father, we think also of many missionaries that we support. We just think especially of the Corneliuses this morning as they're beginning another 4, 5, 6 week trip around, Lord, to visit their churches. I pray that the vehicle they have would run smoothly, that it wouldn't give them any problems, that they would be able to get to the different destinations to report. So, Father, bless the Corneliuses as they travel. We're also thinking of Sam Sandlin. We thank You so much that he was able to pass these tests, Lord. Such an answer to prayer that You've been with him over these past many months of study and testing for his airplane license, Lord, to be able to do maintenance as he goes back to his field. So, Lord, bless him as he returns to Cameroon, that the ministry there will be multiplied. Be also, Lord, with others. Think of Peter Pignol. We think of Josh Valcarcel with this new endeavor. Lord, You know all of our other missionaries, the needs that they have. We ask that You to be mighty to be with them at this very time. Father, again, thank You for the privilege we have to be here to worship You. And I pray most of all that our hearts would be focused on Christ, that we would not allow our minds to wander to different things, but Your name would be high and lifted up, Lord, and help us to be appreciative and grateful and thankful for all that You've done for us. We thank You now for Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we turn now back to number 188, please. Back to number 188. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, number 188.
Precious, for precious, and gold. Precious, for precious, wealth again.
turn now to number 397. It's a familiar hymn, but one that's very powerful, and I hope it's true in our lives, that we are trusting Jesus. Simply trusting sounds simple to do, but many times we let barriers in our life hinder that. Let's trust the Lord. Let's sing number 397.
Trust in Jesus, that is all.
Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Acts this morning, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We're going to take a break for a few weeks from our study and the series that we've been doing in the book of Matthew. And I want to deal with a subject that's been much in the news recently. I actually started on this some time ago, putting together a PowerPoint on this particular subject. And with all the things that have been happening over the past week and new statistics that were released this week from the Center for Disease Control on the subject of suicide, that we need to look at it from a biblical perspective. There are 7 suicides that are recorded in God's Word. It's interesting, all of them were males, every one of them. It's interesting that in regard to this, men are committing suicide at 4 times the rate of women. That was released this week from the Center for Disease Control. 4 times the rate of women, male suicides. The rate for suicides for boys in the ages 15 through 24 is 6 times higher than it is for girls. What's happening to our young men and to our men in America? This kind of leads up to Father's Day, but there is something happening for these increases to come down. They studied this from 1999 to 2016 to release these particular statistics. It's interesting to me that in the age group, boys in the age group 15 to 24 are 90% more likely to commit suicide during the school year than they are outside the school year. In other words, during the summers, it rarely happens, but during the school year, 90%. It's interesting also that in our public school system, suicide has been a major topic for the last 60 years as an option. Most people don't think about that, but it's in the textbooks, it's in the supplemental reading. It's part of their plan. It starts in elementary school when they talk about death education. Have you heard that phrase before? Death education? That's part of the curriculum in the public school system. It's also in the public arena in the college and university levels as death education, as suicide being an option for people. Men and boys have been under increasing attack by the culture in higher education for 100 years. A new expression that's come out in the last year or so is toxic masculinity. Now, you might say, oh, we're talking about, you know, boys being cruel and violent. No. They're just talking about boys being boys. This whole concept of being a man is under attack. It's under attack by Hollywood and the programs. They always picture the man as a dunce. He don't know what he's doing. He don't have a clue about being a parent. And it's always the kids that are the smartest ones in the group. All right? They know how to raise themselves. They know how to do. Almost without exception, you see that pictured in television. Now, listen to this anthropologist that I found recently in my collection of material. His name is Donald Rubenstein. And he writes, as suicide grows more frequent in our communities, the idea itself acquires a certain familiarity, if not fascination, to young men. And the lethality of the act seems to be trivialized. You hear what he's saying? The lethality of the act seems to be trivialized. Where does that come from? It comes from people that don't know God. They don't know about eternal life. All they know is what they've been taught and what they've picked up from the culture. He goes on to say, especially among younger boys, the suicide act appears to have been acquired as an experimental, almost recreational event, sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. You know what the man did? He quoted Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Didn't even know he'd done that. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. had said that almost 90 years ago. Sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Folks, that's the culture. That's the world. It plays out. What can we make of this? Well, ideas often go viral and spread like a contagion, which is fine when the idea or product spreading is something benign, but not fine when it's suicide. And then it occurred to me that the suicide statistics of U.S. veterans is very alarming as well. I've read about this many, many times. While it has not yet reached epidemic proportions, there have been some misinformation put out that 22 per day were dying through suicide. That has since been proven false. That statistic was started in 2012. We are seeing increased rates steadily since 1999. Indeed, the suicide rate of middle-aged white men in general is a disturbing trend. This past week, we had two cultural individuals who are well-known in the world who took their lives, Anthony Bourdain and Katie Spade. And it was all in the news, and people were raving about it, and the CDC came out with their statistics, and there was a Washington Post reporter who I have followed kind of her articles over and over through the years because she's written on this particular subject. She came out with some interesting statistics, and I'm going to put them up here on the board. But I emailed her this week, and she responded to my email. I was shocked. She responded to somebody from Milton, Florida. But she gave me some additional statistics that I'm going to share with you. It's very, very sad. She wrote this to me. I recently wrote about the shocking statistic that indicates suicide is twice as high among African-American children than white children, and it's high among white children. But the incidence of younger and younger kids taking their own lives is hideous. What can we do about it? That was her question. What can we do about it? I know what we can do about it, but the problem is it's been put down, stepped on, trampled on. And it's what the Bible tells us about, and that's life in Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 17. God, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein. Are kids being taught that in the public schools? No. Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, is that taught in the public schools? No. Dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needeth anything. What's taught in the world? That you can worship God that you make with your own hands. And you can be your own God if you want to be. Seeing He giveth to all life and what? Breath. And what? All things. Now, who is Paul speaking to here? He's speaking to people that had put up this image on a hill, Mars Hill, to be exact. And on that image, they put to the unknown God, just in case they miss somebody. And Paul was preaching to them. He's telling them about the unknown God. He's the God of all things. He was speaking to a pagan generation. A pagan generation, by the way, where it was common to commit suicide. You go back and you study ancient Greek civilization, and you study the culture of the time in which Paul lived. And suicide was an expected way of when someone got really sick to take their life so they didn't have to suffer. It was promoted. It was considered reasonable. And he's speaking to these people, and he's telling them, I want to tell you about the God who is worshipped not with men's hands. The God who giveth to all life. Now, that word all is important. I've said this many, many times, and I've quoted the brother that shared that with us many, many years ago. All means all. That's all means. How many does God give breath to? All. How many does God give life to? All. How many does God give all things? All. We all have air. We all have sunshine. We all enjoy the same things for the most part. Who's the one that's given to us? You'll find in the culture, we got it ourselves. The Bible says it came from God. Notice, please, verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Who's determined all that? Do you learn that in the public school? No. You see a pattern that I'm giving here? I want you to know why life is so little regarded. It's because we left the Bible and we started teaching traditions, teaching evolution, teaching death education, which says suicide's an option. After all, it's just that's it. When you die, you're dead. That's it. There's no eternity. And that's not what the Bible teaches. He hath made from one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. You know what these suicides, they're feeling. They're trying to find something that's significant, something that will make their life worth living. And God's not far from them. He's not far. The one who gives life. He says they should seek the Lord. And what has the culture said? Just follow your heart. Oh, that gets repeated a million times every year. Just follow your heart. You know where your heart will take you? Your heart will take you to hell. That's where the heart will take you. It'll take you to hell. Don't follow your heart. Follow after God. Verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Back in Paul's day, the poets were even writing about the truth of life, the truth of death. But now, we have a whole different concept. The paganism of yesteryear has morphed into a paganism that can't even write good things about God because they don't consider God to even exist. Do you see what's happened in paganism? Paganism has grown darker with the years. Paganism has grown deeper into wickedness. And we've got to see that. We've got to know that. You can't just assume. I want to share with you this morning some thoughts from God's Word in regard to suicide. I want you to see this picture that was posted. All right? It's an image that they were using for an article on suicide. It's a hand, a fist, all right, pointed upward, and you got a heartbeat on this side, and you have a flat line on this side. Okay? The article was about going out on your own terms, ending your life on your own terms. That's a falsehood. You never end life on your own terms. Because the moment you wake up, you're in eternity. You see, folks, it's a false analogy. It's a false outcome, this whole concept. This picture used to show making a fist. I am controlling my life and my destiny. Those are the words of a fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God for me. Suicide, is it a helpless end or something else? I want you to see this map. But this is a map of the United States of America released by the CDC showing the increases in suicide. There's only one state, Nevada, that did not have an increase. It had a decrease of 1%. But still, Nevada is above the national average on suicides. Mostly in the Las Vegas area. Can you figure out why? Why would that be so? Reno and Las Vegas, high suicide rates. But they went down by 1%. Look at Florida, right here. Florida had an increase of 6 to 18%, depending on where you live in the state, taking your life. Look at all the dark blues in the Midwest and upper Midwest. Those had the most significant increases. 38 to 58%. Now notice this. Midwest, breadbasket of the United States of America. Massive increases in suicide. You'll find that There's a lot of increases, 31 to 37% up here at the Northwest, all the way down into Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Alaska. Major increases in suicide. The first question that comes to my mind is why? Well, we're going to get to that, Lord willing. Suicide rates rose in all but one state between 1999 and 2016, with increases seen across age, gender, race, and ethnicity. In more than half of all the deaths in 27 states, the people had no known mental health condition when they ended their lives. Now, this is what is baffling everybody. All right, well, what's going on here? I mean, it's not depression. By the way, depression, the lowest reason for suicide. What have we been told? Statistics prove otherwise. It's the least amount of reason. We're going to get into that. In North Dakota, who would have thought? North Dakota, one of the smallest populated states in our union, the rate jumped to more than 57%. In the most recent period studied, 2014 to 2016, the rate was the highest in Montana at 29.2 per 100,000 residents, compared with a national average of 13.4 per 100,000. Only Nevada recorded a decline, as I said, of 1%, although its rate remained higher than the national average. Nearly 45,000 suicides occurred in the United States in 2016, more than twice the number of homicides. Are you listening? Twice the number of homicides. This is from the Centers for Disease Control. Let's go on. Making it the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Among people ages 15 to 34, suicide is the second leading cause of death. 15 to 34. We're talking about our high schoolers and our young 20-somethings, millennials. They're known as millennials. By the way, this information was in the Washington Post article. This was a graph that she posted in the article. No known mental health conditions. 16% were female, 84% were male, taking their lives. All right? The method, 55% a firearm, 27 suffocation, that's through hanging or some other method. Other poisoning, 10%. Look at that. Known mental health, all right, 69% male, 31% female. Again, what gender? The male, all right? And, of course, the method, we'll move on. 7 suicides in the Bible, all right? We have Abimelech, Samson, Saul, Saul's armor-bearer, Ahithophel, Zimri, and Judas. This comes from the J.L. Meredith's Big Book of Bible Lists that was published in 1980. And I copied it out of there because it was a helpful information to me. 7, all male. So let's go into this. Example number 1. Because I want you to see what the Bible has to say about the individuals that took their life. Have you ever heard a message on suicide before? What's the assumption? That's not going to hit us. Not going to be a problem for us. I guarantee you know somebody in your circle of friends within the last year that took their own life. All right? Would that help you to know in evangelism and reaching out to families and people? The Lord has just been speaking to my heart about this. We're just trundling along, doing our Christian thing. And people are dying and going to hell, and people are taking their own lives. And we're worried about what's going to be on the next channel. What picture can I post on Facebook? And people are dying and going to hell, and we don't even know it. We're not even thinking about it. I don't read negative news. You don't read negative news? Well, as a Christian, you need to know what in the world is going on, so it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Abimelech, a self-centered decision to end his life so that it would not be said that a woman killed him. Judges chapter 9, verse 54. There's a reason to take your life. Right? self-murder. I don't want a woman, someone to say that a woman took my life. He was concerned about how he would be remembered. By the way, in the category of 15 through 24 who take their lives during the school year, many of them had posted all kinds of stuff on social media to make a stir so they would be seen in the media. How they would be what? Remembered, because they thought their life was insignificant. So I'm going to go out with a big bang. Sound familiar? Comes right out of the Bible. Example number two, Samson. There's so much speculation about this example as to whether or not he fully knew he would be killed because he could not see. The Bible says in Judges 16 and verse 30, "Let me die with the Philistines." That clears it up for me. I don't understand these higher critics. Well, he probably didn't realize he was going to die. Well, the Bible says he did. "Let me die with the Philistines." He took his life in the process of taking lives as a way of revenge for his two lost eyes. You said, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. Look down here. Judges 16, 28. "Lord, give me strength that with this one act of revenge I may pay back the Philistines for my two eyes." Took his own life. You say, well, he killed a lot of Philistines. It's interesting, the rabbis loved to make Samson a hero because he gave them the victory over their enemies. But what was his, "Let me die with the Philistines"? He took his own life. It was a suicide. The text summarizes Samson's ministry by saying that he killed more Philistines in his death than he killed during his life. We have a tendency to exalt that and make him into a hero. But the Bible says, "Let me find revenge for my two lost eyes." Is that a selfish request? I think so. I think it's pretty clear. "Let me die with the Philistines, so that this one act of revenge I may pay back the Philistines for my two lost eyes." Let's go on. Example number three. Critics of the Bible sometimes note the two different versions of the death of King Saul as a contradiction. 1 Samuel chapter 31 says that Saul was injured in battle and that he killed himself. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, it relates the story of an Amalekite who claimed to have killed Saul. All right? Which account of the death of Saul is true? The clear answer from the biblical text is that Saul killed himself and that the Amalekite story was a fabrication. The biblical text records the story the Amalekite gave but does not affirm it as true. Several reasons support this understanding. Number one, the initial report of Saul's death is that he killed himself. That's what the Bible says. Number two, notes that the Philistines were responsible for the deaths of Saul and his sons. The Philistines struck Saul down at Gilboa. While Saul took his own life, the suicide was prompted by his being mortally wounded by the Philistines. And then thirdly, the Amalekite who lied needed an explanation for taking Saul's crown and armlet. He said to David, "I stood beside Saul and killed him because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive. And I took the crown that was on his head and the band on his arm and have brought it unto you, my Lord." His hope was that he would receive a reward for killing King Saul. And what happened to him? He was killed by the king. All right? Because he dared to destroy the Lord's anointed. Again, with this third example, a selfish motive appears. It is this: "I do not want to be captured at the hands of the uncircumcised Philistines who will abuse me and kill me." When the armor-bearer refused, Saul fell on his sword, we're told in 1 Samuel 31 and verse 4. By the way, I'm quoting out of the Amplified Bible here. So, did it end there? No. Saul's suicide led to another suicide. Saul's armor-bearer took his life after Saul took his. Why? 1 Samuel 31, 4 through 6 gives us the indication that this armor-bearer was overwhelmed with fear. What did Saul say to his armor-bearer? "Kill me, lest they abuse my body and kill me." So he left that message with the armor-bearer, and the armor-bearer took his life. What is fear? Fear is an extremely powerful emotion that, if not put under the control of God, can cause people to take their own life. Fear, pictured here by the armor bearer. Example number 5. When Ahithophel, who was Absalom's counselor, saw that his counsel was not followed, he got him to his home, to his house, to his city, and put his house in order, and hanged himself and died, we're told in 2 Samuel 17, verse 23. Once again, a selfish motive appears. We don't have time to go through and look at all the text, but let me just kind of summarize it here. My counsel was not valued or followed by Absalom. I may be removed from my powerful position, might even be put to death. I will end my life on my own terms. He went home, put his house in order, and he went and he hanged himself because his counsel was not followed. Now, that's example number 5. Have anybody seen a righteous reason for suicide? Not even close. Example number 6. It came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. If you remember Zimri, he was a servant in the palace of King Elah in the northern kingdom. He murdered King Elah, the son of Baasha, and proceeded to murder the entire family. Not a nice guy. A wicked man. All to reign 7 days. Okay, he killed off the king, killed off his family, took over the throne, and he reigned for a whole week. Week-long reign. Let me ask you something. Was it worth it? Well, we're going to find out that it wasn't. It wasn't. When the people found out that Zimri had done what he did, they surrounded the city of Tirzah where Zimri lived, and he took his own life to avoid capture. All right? Do you see a theme arising so far through these 6 examples? One more. Example number 7. Judas cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Matthew chapter 27, verse 5. We're going to be getting to that in our Bible study in the book. What was he experiencing? Guilt. Who is he? He just sold down the river. The Lord Jesus Christ. For, you know, just silver. Bible says he threw the silver down in the temple, and he departed and he went and hanged himself. Guilt and the inability to live with oneself after such a heinous and cowardly act of selling out Jesus for money. Is that a righteous reason? No. The Bible never gives a righteous reason for suicide. Number 1, drugs are powering much of what we're seeing. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, if you study Revelation and you get down to the part where it talks about sorcery shall increase, the word sorcery in the Greek language is pharmakia. What does that sound like? Pharmakia, pharmacy. It's in the Greek language. Drug culture has been around since the dawn of time, always looking for some way to escape. Drugs, illicit and prescribed, alter rational thinking that can lead to despair and suicide. How many times have you seen commercials on television for a new drug product out there, and they warn that there may be increased urgencies to commit suicide, to take one's life? Altering the mind. Major cause. Major cause. Prescribed drugs being sold off the market, you know, selling it on the streets and so forth like that. Major causes. Drugs are wickedness. Drugs are wickedness. We can't. This whole push today for legalizing marijuana, if you talk to the resource officers and you talk to the police officers and the highway patrol in Colorado, they tell you a different story than the media tells you. They tell you the story of the increased suicides and the phone calls they get because somebody's trying to take their life and a wife's calling to try to stop the act and they're trying to get police. It's happened. Why? Because they're smoking pot and they want to take their life. Don't give me this argument that marijuana, that's an innocent drug. It's not. It's a gateway drug to death and other drugs. Mark it down, kids, children, teenagers, young people. And what is the sign of the end times? Increased sorcery, pharmakia, the increasing use of drugs to alter the state of mind. And what's the consequence? Suicide. Selfishness. Here's a big one right here. Self-centeredness. I read the articles about Katie Spade this week and the note that she left behind for her 11-year-old daughter. You know what she said? The note simply said, "Mommy's going, it's not your fault." How much do you think that note was a comfort to that 11-year-old girl? By the way, Anthony Bourdain left behind a 16-year-old daughter. It's going to have to cope with this. No note that we know of at this point. It hasn't been reported, at least. Children left behind in the wake of taking one's life. Selfishness, fear of what might happen to us, of being remembered poorly, guilt, depression, according to the stats, the least reason for suicide, despair, drug addiction. All of these actions are wicked. And they're self-centered. Mental health issues. There are people that struggle with mental health issues that take their life. We've all experienced that. We've all seen that. I've actually counseled two young people that came to my office from our Christian school that had contemplated suicide. So folks, it's not just out there in the world. It's around us. It's all around us. And what do we have? We have the precious Book of Life. The Book of Life! And what a different salvation. How many times we've heard testimonies of people that said they were about to take their life and they heard a hymn or that someone spoke to them and they walked away from the suicide into the arms of Jesus Christ. And now they have life everlasting. Look at the picture. Let it soak in for just a moment. Raised fist. I'm in charge of my life. I'm going to go out on my own terms. Taking one's life because we've been desensitized to the truth of life in Jesus Christ. This is one of the reasons, folks, that Christians go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you doing it in your workplace? Are you doing it on break time? Are you talking to your neighbors? Are you sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ? We're living in an increasing world where death is preferred over life. And by the way, we're trundling along and moving toward that day when judgment falls during the Great Tribulation period. And people are going to cry out for what? The rocks to fall upon them. In other words, to kill them so they don't have to endure. And what's the solution? Is it the rocks coming upon them? Is that the solution? Is it hanging yourself? Is that the solution? No! The solution is found in Jesus Christ alone. And we better get busy. We assume a lot of things, don't we, in church? We assume people are saved. We assume people are walking with God. And then we find out different. We've got to be faithful in witnessing to those who are lost. We can't save them. Only Jesus can save them. But we've got to get concerned about them. Do I hear an amen? We've got to get concerned. These seven individuals that I highlighted from the Bible, Judas spent 3 years with Jesus Christ and walked away from life. Isn't that sad? In a selfish act, he walked away from eternal life. He had been with the One. So you can't override the sovereignty of the individual. Amen? We can't do that. But there were 11 others. Amen? There are 11 other disciples that trusted Jesus Christ, and many of them went to their deaths for His cause. Oh, how we need Jesus Christ today. In these last days, we need Jesus Christ. Don't go to sleep. Don't settle on your lees. We've got work to do. We've got people to reach with the gospel. We got boys and girls to train in the truth. And it's time we got serious about it. Because for the most part, the only thing we're serious about is having fun. Boy, we can put all kinds of work into that. But how about putting effort into reaching people with the gospel? These two popular figures went into eternity this week. Neither one made any profession of faith at all. They didn't know the God of life. I pray that there were some people in their life at least that were concerned about them. But that's not good enough. We got to give them the message of the gospel. That's the only thing that will save. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You would bless and work in hearts today. Lord, we're living in a society that honors death, makes it an option, taking one's life. After all, there's no eternity, but they're dead wrong. They don't know the giver of life, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You would help us to get up and to get busy. There are people in our circle of friends that are just as lost as they can be, and we talk to them about the weather. We talk to them about everything under the sun except Jesus Christ. And then when they pass on, we live with regrets. Oh, I wish I'd spoken to them. I wish I'd taken time. And then we kind of placate that. Well, they probably wouldn't have received Jesus Christ anyway. That's not our business. Lord, that's Your business. Our business is to be faithful in giving the gospel and preaching the word and carrying the gospel to lost souls. Father, work. And I pray that You'd work in the hearts and lives of our young people, that they would not swallow hook, line, and sinker what the world teaches, what the world says is a way of escape. It's just the open door to hell. I pray that You would work in such a way, Father, to make us aware of what Your Word teaches and what a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and close with number 377. 377. It's a hymn that reminds us that our Lord is in control and we have no reason to fear. He drives all fear away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. Let's stand together, number 377. Let's sing that third verse. Verse number 3, number 377.
Jesus is King, He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. I trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fear away. How can I fear? Jesus is near.
Father, thank You so much for the time we've had to be here in Your house, for the message that we've heard this morning. Lord, help us to take heed to the exhortation that there's work to do, there's people to reach, there's a message of hope and life in Jesus Christ to give to people. So, Father, help us to be dutiful and diligent. Thank You, Father, for all that have gathered and now bless, Lord, in our baptism service to follow. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.